One of the tremendous blessings of the liturgical church is the liturgical calendar. Because I have no idea what I would do if every Monday morning I got to the church and thought to myself, well, what am I going to preach about this week? It could be a royal mess. But beyond... You? Really? But beyond that, for centuries, the church has taken time and celebrated not just those momentous occasions, Christmas, Easter, Pentecost, but has taken time before them and said, you know what? We need to prepare for this. And that isn't just a Christian thing, it's a Jewish thing as well. Before Passover, the Jews would spend time cleaning up their whole house, going through and removing all the leaven from their house, which was a symbol of their sin. So they went through their house and they made sure that not only did they not have the material leaven in their home, but they searched their hearts to get rid of the leaven in their soul as well. Amen. Before Yom Kippur, they had 10 days of prayer and preparation. Amen. Before their Day of Atonement, they didn't just spend like one day going, okay, so, you know what? I really could help my wife out a little bit more around the house. Yeah, okay, we'll talk about that when we go to temple today. 10 days. 10 days. And so we come to the church year and we come to the point where we celebrate Advent. Now, Father Scott referred to it as the mini Lent, which, okay, sort of. In a way, it's prayer, it's preparation, it's fasting, it's getting ready to celebrate this momentous occasion. And so, in that capacity, yes. It is sort of like Lent with a little less chest beating. Oh, my sins, my sins, my sins. Now, there should be some of that, just not quite so much. Because the key word for Advent isn't penitence, it's preparation. Amen. We are getting prepared for the Advent. Now, Advent is that old Latin word that means to come. And so as we celebrate Advent, we need to be mindful that we are preparing for his coming. Amen. Now, the world's been doing that since right after Halloween, right? As soon as they put away the pumpkins, they started pulling out the Christmas trees. I don't know how you can buy a Christmas tree at the end of October and still have anything green on it come Christmas unless you're buying a fake one. Okay? I can't hardly get one to last like 2 weeks, but it's beside the point. So the world does it one way. And, you know, every year I go through this, you'd think I'd be used to it by now. But when the music stations switch over to their Christmas music, oh, I just want to bang my head on the dashboard. Principally because, one, it's not Christmas time yet. And it wouldn't be so bad if on December 26th you couldn't find a Christmas carol in the entire country. Amen. Any station. That's true. Christmas is 12 days. Up till January 6th, we ought to be hearing a Christmas carol somewhere. No, man. Soon as Christmas Day is over, let's put those back in the vault. We won't need them for another 10 months. Really? Come on. First Sunday after Christmas, they're still not playing. Really? Come on. But beyond that, if you ever have the fortitude to listen to that for any length of time, they're not really about Jesus. They're about mama kissing Santa Claus. They're about Rudolph. You know, the funny kid who everybody ignores until they need him. That's not Christmas, that's exploitation. These are terrible songs. And if they're not about Jesus, they're not about Christmas. I don't even call them Christmas songs. I call them winter songs or Yule carols. The pagans love them. But they're not about Jesus. This season is about Jesus. And not just his wonderful, cute, fancy, everybody loves it, quaint little manger scene coming, but the final coming. And that's where the story gets a little less friendly. Because, you know, we all love the manger and the angels and the little lamb and all that kind of stuff. That's a wonderful story. The three wise men, and they came a couple weeks later. Never mind that. But Advent isn't just about getting ready for Christmas, making sure you have all your packages purchased and your cards sent out. It's about preparing, not just to celebrate the Feast of the Incarnation, when God became man, but it's also about making sure that you're ready when he comes again. Because it's not going to be like that little silent night. And in fact, when we look at the gospel, the family-friendly, warm, fuzzy, hold hands and sings carols kind of goes away. Because we get this. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Well, that's a mood killer. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, when they all died. And did not know until the flood came and took them away, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus will return. And when he returns, he will separate the sheep from the goats. And it's good to be a sheep. It's horrible to be a goat.
Yes, it is.
That's just the way it is. There are two adjectives that the Old Testament uses most often when it talks about the day of the Lord. Great and terrible. Because on one hand, it's going to be great if you're on the right team. And on the other, it's terrible. Some of you can relate to that this morning. Some of you had a great weekend, some of you it was terrible. Imagine that with eternal consequences. Not just, well, there's always next week or next season, but over, done. This one is eternal. And so we're challenged not just to do those family things that we all love about Christmas, to get our cards and our presents and our tree. And there's nothing wrong with those. But in this season, the church calls us to make sure that beyond our presents and our cards and our tree and our decorations, our hearts are ready. Because that's what really matters. It doesn't count if we've given everybody wonderful gifts and we're all destined for damnation.
Amen.
That is a short-term pat on the back. And so he continues. Jesus continues and he says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into."
Amen.
Well, duh.
Okay.
If you know the thief is coming, you're ready for them.
Amen.
That makes total sense, but you don't know. And so what do? Some of you carry all the time because you never know when somebody's coming up to you.
Amen.
That's making sure that you're ready.
Amen.
That's being prepared. You don't know. It's like having a fire extinguisher. You don't know that you're going to need it. You may never need it.
Right.
But you better have it.
Amen.
We're called to be ready.
Amen.
To be prepared.
Amen.
Look at what the collect for the day is. The collect is really, it's just a mispronunciation of the word collect. Like, gather. Let's collect all these things and go. The collect, it's not really a mispronunciation, it's a different pronunciation, is the way that we're supposed to collect our thoughts around the service.
Amen.
What should we be focusing on today? What do all the readings tie into? How do they all relate? What is the main theme of the service?
Amen.
Give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put upon us the armor of light.
Amen.
Now in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when he comes again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal. Right now, give us grace to cast off the works of darkness.
Amen.
Those things that Paul talks about when he says, let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, and lust, not in strife and envy. Get rid of those things.
Amen.
Put on us the armor of light. We must be ready. We need to reject the darkness. The verse that keeps coming back to me over and over and over again is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable duty, your priestly duty. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. The world does things one way, and they want everybody to do that too.
Oh, yes, they do.
And Paul tells us, don't let the world mold you.
Amen.
Don't let them shape you.
Amen.
Don't be conformed.
Amen.
With the form of, with the shape of. Don't let them fit you into their mold. I have friends who are both clergy who are in the middle of a heated public argument online right now. And it is ugly. And it doesn't show any sign of getting better because neither one of them is backing down at all.
Amen.
This is not how we're supposed to do things.
Amen.
We are ambassadors for Christ.
Amen.
Ministers of reconciliation. Reconciling ourselves and the rest of the world to a right relationship with God. When the world sees us beating each other up, that does not do wonders for our success ratio. We don't get to go and puff out our chests and go, yeah, look how different we are. When we're exactly the same as they are. When we live like the world, we can't witness to the world. We must be different.
Amen.
We have to reject the works of darkness.
Amen.
We have to put on the armor of light.
Amen.
What is that armor of light? It's the full armor of God. It's what Paul talks about.
Amen.
When he writes his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Isn't that what we all want to be?
Amen.
Strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Amen.
Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Anybody need a little bit more help standing against the wiles of the devil? Has it been that kind of a year for you? We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in heavenly places. I do love the old translation that says, against the forces and work at this present darkness. For years, our country had a foreign enemy. Throughout the entire, for 20, 30 years, we were fighting the Cold War. And then that ended, and somehow we became our own enemy. We didn't find someone else to stand up against. We turned on each other. And now we can't even focus and rally when we have reasonable enemies to oppose because we're too divided. I think Jesus said something about that. Something about a house divided not standing. Something along those lines. And the world loves that. It eats it up. Because we are turned on each other. And it doesn't matter who's right. We can both be wrong. Because when we behave that way, we destroy the testimony.
Amen.
We lose our witness.
Yes, we do.
And we are not fighting against this group, against that group, against these people, that people.
Amen.
Paul was in chains when he wrote this letter.
Yes, he was.
He wasn't saying, we wrestle against the Romans, those horrible, murderous oppressors.
Amen.
He had a pretty good right to say that. He was being toted off in chains to the heart of the empire where they were going to execute him. And he didn't say, you know what, we wrestle against this. We wrestle against Caesar. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age. So what? Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand evil. And having done all to stand, stand.
Amen.
What's the armor of God? Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth.
Amen.
How do we do that? We need to be able to be so much more entrenched in the Word of God.
Amen.
Than we are in anything that comes off of a screen. Be it your television, be it your monitor, be it your Palm Pilot or your cell phone or your tablet or whatever. We need to be so much deeper in the Word of God, which conveys more truth than any media outlet ever, including social media outlets. Because the Word of God is true and it's unchanging and it's the power of salvation. You will never get that from anything that plugs in anywhere.
Amen.
Put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's so much easier.
Amen. Yes, it is.
To stand up and take beatings.
Amen.
When you are right.
Thank you, Lord.
When you are righteous.
Amen.
When the world says things, and you can stand up and in love say, I do this and this is why.
Amen.
It's so much easier to take that shot to the chest.
Thank you.
And those are going to come.
Oh, yes, amen.
Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not just reading it, but living it out.
Amen.
That's what we're called to do. To shod our feet. What, so we can sit back on our lazy boy with our feet up in the air?
No.
Sounds nice. But that's not what we're called to do. We're called to put the gospel on our feet and go.
Amen.
To live it out.
Amen.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. It's our faith that gives us the power to stand against these things. It's the confidence to know that this is coming.
Amen.
Yes, it's nasty. Yes, it's terrible. The world is a miserable place in certain points, in certain ways, in certain things. There's bright spots, but there's lots of darkness.
Amen.
And this will pass.
Yes, it will.
Because we know that in the end, God will wipe away every tear from every eye. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end in the perseverance and supplication of the saints. Praying. Praying with the helmet of salvation, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In this time, it's wonderful to celebrate Christmas. It's wonderful to get all those pretty packages and gifts and all that kind of stuff. But we have to remember that we are called to live differently.
Amen.
We are called to gird ourselves with righteousness and truth and be prepared to go forth and carry that. And we are called not to live as the world does.
Amen.
We are ambassadors. We are foreign agents carrying our master's will out in a foreign land.
Amen.
In one sense, we're spies. Amen. We're saboteurs.
Okay. Yes,
we are in an enemy-occupied land trying to overthrow their government. Should they be worried? It's worked with every other government.
Amen.
The Romans fell. The Persians fell. The Greeks fell. And Christianity remained.
Amen. Yes, it does. Hallelujah.
We're called to be different.
Yes, we are.
We cannot let the world conform us.
Amen.
And as we move forward this year, I challenge you. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world, but renewed by the word of God. As we go forward in Advent and beyond, remember that in this time, we are getting prepared. We are preparing not just for the big holiday and the fancy parties and all of that great stuff. We are preparing for his second coming.
All right.
When he will come to judge both the living and the dead.
Amen.
And it is our duty, our responsibility, our Lord's will that we prepare ourselves by casting off the works of darkness and putting on us the armor of light, by spending time in Scripture, the Word of God, yeah, even fasting. If you haven't figured out what to fast for Advent, don't worry, Sundays are feast days, so you have till tomorrow. Prayer, fasting, reading the Word of God.
Amen.
Yes, in that way we are in the middle of a little Lent. We are being mindful of the fact that there is a great day coming,
Amen.
But it's not just coming on the 24th. The 25th, Christmas Day. It's coming when he comes again and he pierces the sky.
All right, amen.
And we not only need to have ourselves ready, but we need to do as much as we can to share with as many people as we can,
amen.
As effectively as we can,
amen.
The truth that is within us and that has changed us forever.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.